need a boost to get through another crazy holiday season? Get the energy you need and fight seasonal fatigue with NT Factor's holiday sale. From now through January 1st, get 20% off either size of NT Factor Lipids powder and get a 30-count bottle of patented energy with NT Factor free. That's a $36 value. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to repair damaged cells and improve your body's natural energy production. Clinical trials have shown that NT Factor's exclusive formula reduces fatigue by almost half and helps reduce some of the unwanted effects of aging. I don't go a day without it, so take advantage of NT Factor's holiday sale and stock up for the new year. Get 20% off NT Factor Lipids powder and receive a 30-count bottle of patented energy with NT Factor free through January 1st. Call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, and welcome to October, yet another month in our cavalcade of Intelligent Medicine Podcasts as we advance into autumn and a little cooler weather. Next week, I'll be writing a newsletter article on the benefits of cold. So subscribe to our newsletter. Go to drhoffman.com for that. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. With me is Layla Newton, who is our nutritionist in residence, the eponymous Layla, which this podcast is named. Questions come to questions at drhoffman.net. How are you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And a little challenged by the cold, gloomy weather here. It's kind of...
I'm liking the cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm liking the cool.
Good.
I don't mind it.
Okay.
The gloomy.
You're getting a little revving of your bat, your brown adipose tissues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, especially at home. So I'm not going to turn on the furnace yet.
Well, you told me about your oil bill.
My oil bill. Oh my God! It's almost
doubled.
Twice.
It doubled.
Doubled from last from last winter.
So the silver cloud of the lining is that you can keep the apartment or keep the house cold.
The house. Yeah.
And around 50 degrees, shiver a little bit, and that'll be even more beneficial.
Yeah, but what will it do to the pipes? I thought 55 degrees was the bottom. From pipes. I don't want.
You don't care if you burst. It's the pipes.
I could deal with it. I'll put on 3 cardigans. It's all right.
So, I just want to comment before we get to our questions these days I'm listening to more podcasts.
Yeah.
Now I don't listen to my own podcasts because it's kind of like,
You know what you did.
Although I have to admit, sometimes, if I'm on vacation somewhere, I may just tune into the show.
Yeah.
And I go, wow, that's really interesting. I forgot I talked about that. Let me listen some more. mostly I don't listen to myself, but I listen to other podcasts. And I have to say that these days, there's so much passive media. You know, you can turn on the TV, you can watch cable, you can waste a lot of time on social media.
Yeah.
It's really nice to get some kind of educational podcast or even some entertaining, if your thing is whatever, knitting, or if your thing is, flower
finance.
Arranging, personal finance,
love
whatever.
It.
It's like so enriching and it's so,
yeah,
especially that time where I'm walking to work, which used to be kind of time where I was immersed in my own thoughts. That's fine too. But it gives you kind of an added dimension. And I think podcasting is great. So, obviously those of you listening, you're listening via podcast, you can also, do your housework with these great headphones. You have these noise canceling headphones, or you can have, AirPods, Apple, whatever they call it, AirPods, I guess, it cancels out the external sound and you can, even in a noisy environment.
Even while you're vacuuming.
When you're vacuuming. Yes. Yes. I don't like vacuuming and I got to do it from time to time.
Sure.
And it's karma yoga. It's like, doing something that is a little bit, your duty, doing your duty. And it's always good to do that, housework.
Yep.
But then kind of perks it up. I listen to music. Music is fine.
Totally.
I used to only listen to music. Now I listen to podcasts, which are informational. So those of you listening, congratulations to you. Article I want to tackle before we get to questions is the following. Has to do with the benefits of a combination of cardio and weightlifting. Mm-hmm. I got to say that, especially in the summertime when the weather's good, I do a heck of a lot more cardio than strength training.
Yeah.
Especially with COVID, where the gym was closed, or, you know, it was kind of empty and desolate and I didn't want to go. And, you know, people wearing masks kind of creeping me out. I did a lot more cardio. And I got good at cardio. And now, with the opportunity to go back to the gym, I'm finding that I lost some ground in terms of strength. I my endurance is great. Yeah. I think I'm tip-top endurance for my age. But it turns out that balancing that with weightlifting or resistance training is really beneficial. According to an article here, stats are regularly lifting weights without any cardio associated with a 9 to 22% lower mortality. When you combine the two, it's a 41 to 47% lower mortality.
Terrific.
Aerobics without muscle strength training lowers death by 24 to 34. So you get a lot of benefit with one or the other, but with both, there's a perfect synergy and you really dramatically reduce the risk of dying.
Yes. And I believe in previous studies, with regard to the strength training part of it, optimal to keep lean body mass, especially as we get older, is doing it 3 days a week instead of 2 days a week. So like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, rather than a Monday and Thursday for strength training.
Right.
It would be optimal to retain lean body mass.
Right.
Do we?
And I'm a little remiss on that. I hit it maybe a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Because I'm busy doing, like this morning I swam, the day before I swam. It's been crappy weather, so I was only able to do a bike ride on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, look, do what you can.
Do what you can, exactly. Yeah.
But diversify your exercise portfolio and do the stretching and do the yoga. That's good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Planking.
Planking.
And, you know, holding positions is really good for blood pressure.
Yeah, that might be the single most important exercise.
And it doesn't seem like it, but
it doesn't seem like it. It's like not doing much, but yeah, you kind of are, especially when you're down on your forearms.
Yeah.
You know, when your upper arm is perpendicular, you know, instead of the top of a push-up, but down onto your forearms, much harder to do because you really start to feel the weight of your back.
Right. And you get a little tremulous and,
yes.
And that's when the benefits kick in for bone, for brain, for immunity.
For a minute.
You know, we talked to a guy recently about the benefits for the pandemic of physical training. And there's definite benefits in terms of physical conditioning, reducing the risk of severe COVID.
Yes, absolutely. Anything that will benefit you, keep you at a healthy weight, prime your immunity. It also deepens sleep, restful sleep. There's nothing like exercise for that.
And an important thing is our most important bulwark against metabolic disorders, i.e. metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, is to maintain muscle mass.
Yes.
The more muscle mass, the more it acts as a blood sugar buffer, keeping blood sugar stable.
It's metabolically active tissue. It eats a lot of calories, so it gets to eat some more calories,
too,
which is a good thing.
So the strategy for people over a certain age is to maintain adequate protein intake to supply muscle. But if you don't do the exercise, the protein is just going to go into your kidneys and out your body.
Right.
So you want to have that protein to be actively incorporated into your muscle to combat sarcopenia, which is a natural process. You know, you're going to lose muscle.
That's true. I just had a conversation with two of our patients today. One in his 60s, another in her 70s, the importance of upping the protein and coupled with the right amount of weight-bearing exercise.
Right.
To
And I think both of them are going to be, they're both
they're gonna be
very compliant.
Yeah, they're totally on it.
They're all in on it. They just need a little guidance in terms of how to do that. So great stuff. All right. Let us get to questions. A reminder, questions come to questions@drhoffman.net.
Okay. We've got an email from Marianne. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. What is your opinion on health trackers? Do you recommend a particular brand? Do you think they're accurate? And a follow-up question. My heart rate comes down quickly after exercise. Is that good or bad? I'd like to answer that one. Is it?
Go for it.
It's great. Mm-hmm. It shows you've got great recovery.
Yes.
If your heart rate didn't
That's a measure of fitness.
It's a measure of fitness.
Yep.
If your heart rate was still high after several minutes after finishing your exercise, you're not in great cardio shape. You're not in great aerobic shape.
I'm actually surprised by how fast my heart rate comes down, because I can go for a run and then I stop and I walk the, you know, like a half block or a block to my apartment.
Yeah.
And I get my, it's actually as I age, it's harder to get my heart rate up. So if I get my heart rate up to 140, that's quite high.
Yeah.
Often as I run at a steady pace, it's like 122, 124, even when I'm exerting myself. When I get to my door and open the door to my apartment, which is like maybe, I don't know, 3-4 minutes after completing the exercise, my heart rate is like in the 70s. And then when I'm really at rest, it'll go back to revert to like 56 or so, which is my baseline.
Now, are you ever walking up the stairs to your apartment? What floor are you on?
21st. Never. And even when they had the famous blackouts in New York, I just stayed someplace else.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Imagine.
I was luckily in a house with, you know, two floors.
I remember this was a couple of decades ago. There was a race climbing up the stairs of the Empire State Building.
Oh yeah. They do that. They do that every year.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I never heard it, but I heard about it then because
people trained for that. That's an extreme event.
That really is something, climbing all those stairs.
What was the did we answer that whole question, though?
What is your opinion on health trackers?
Trackers.
And
okay.
A preferred one.
Okay, so I could say that
they are great.
They're so motivational. You know, you see all the stuff about your calories that you consume and how far you've gone, how many steps you've taken. And, you know, it's a great idea.
How well you slept.
Yeah, well, maybe, that too. Maybe. But we're talking exercise, I think, at this point. So, however, there are studies that suggest that they don't really do that much to change people's exercise patterns. Now, that may seem counterintuitive because, what they're basically saying is if people who are going to exercise are going to exercise, and people who are not going to exercise are not going to exercise. And if you get a tracker, it's merely because you're expressing desire to exercise. And, you know, you might have done it anyway. So I find that the Apple Watch works fine for me, but there are others that are much more complicated, like the Garmin and various other brands that have all kinds of information where they're calculating your VO2 max and they're calculating, you know, your METs, they show your, you know, your stride length and whether you have... I think Apple Watch does this too. You know, whether you have a balance from one side to the other, there's an interesting feature in the Apple Watch that shows if you're overbalanced to one side or another, if you have stride, equivalence from side to side, which is a measure of balance and, you know, whether you're off kilter. You know, so you can slice and dice it a million different ways. And if you're a data nerd, you know, if you're a quant, you know, and a lot of people are quants these days, like especially younger people, and you know, like still these Silicon Valley genius people, they want to really quantitate it, and they want to graph it, and they want to share it, and they want to compare it, and that helps them, you know, visualize what they do and establish goals, and you know, you get all kinds of metrics like what did you do last month and what did you do this month. You can do this with the Apple Watch too. There's a lot of ways to do it.
Yeah.
I find that I like to know how fast I go. I like to know, and that's it, how far I went and how fast I go.
Yeah. So it can't be. And does that motivate you to say, oh, that's how fast I went? Do I want to go faster?
It does a little bit. You know, for example, when I swim, I try to swim approximately the same distance mostly. And, you know, some days...
Are you trying to beat your personal best?
I will, yeah. Sometimes I'll go, I'm really feeling it. I look at the watch and I go, whoa, this is one of my best times. And then other days I go, that was a recovery swim. I really took it easy. And it could be a 3 minutes difference. You know, but it's all good because...
It's all good because you're swimming.
I'm doing... It's preferable to nothing. And it, you know, so whatever you can do, you know, just even the very cheap ones, like, what are the cheapest ones?
Oh, well, my husband has...
Fitbit.
Yeah, yeah. My husband has a knockoff of a knockoff of a knockoff. He's that frugal.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, and he loves it for the steps.
Right.
And doing and monitoring that kind of thing, or even
you can get it for like mid two-digit dollars. Absolutely. Yeah, if that's your purpose, you don't need like something that is super sophisticated.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah,
you don't need to work
because the fancy garments are like hundreds of dollars, and they have GPS. I like on my bike, I like GPS because I get lost. I like to know where right. I am and yeah. the way home. You know.
When you take a long ride, certainly.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. So, Marianne,
but,
just...
But yeah. Heart rate also, I think, is an important metric.
Totally.
I like to see heart rate.
Yeah.
So that, because I can see if I'm going in the red zone, you know, it's like, okay, you know, maybe back off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, you're really dogging it. You know, it's like you can step it up a little bit. You can afford to, you know. You're not really getting your pulse up that much. So put a step on a little bit.
Right. Okay. So you can achieve a certain heart rate.
Right. In the zone of, you know, what your optimal performance.
And that changes with the conditioning of your heart.
Yes.
You have an athletic pulse, which is less than 60
right.
a minute.
Right.
You don't have to go as high, or it would take a lot more effort for you.
I think I
as
have,
high as you did when you were not as fit.
I think I have high vagal tone.
Yeah.
I have a tremendous resistance to my heart rate going up. So it takes, I'll sometimes be on my bike and I'm like pumping away. And I go, what's this? It's like 105. What's going on here?
It's like you're taking a beta blocker or something.
Yes. I'm sort of auto beta blocked. And that's, I think, a feature of training, but it's also a feature of aging. And it's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, they say your optimal heart rate is like 220 minus your age.
Your age, yeah.
You know, your maximal heart rate. So I'd be 70, so 220 minus, it's 150. I am hard-pressed to get 150. Really rarely do I get to 150. That would be my maximal heart rate. So I perform at about 80% of that routinely.
I think that would be an equation for somebody starting out.
Right.
But when you get more fit and athletic, that I think that equation should likely change.
It's not hard and fast. Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Just okay. A rough guideline.
Yeah. And Marianne, just to reiterate, your heart rate coming down quickly after exercise is an excellent sign,
exactly.
Not just a good one.
It's a sign of autonomic tone. Autonomic, yeah, people lose their autonomic tone. And then, you know, it's what I call it is, you know, when you're trying to rest and relax, you're off to the races.
Yeah.
And when you put the pedal to the metal, your heart doesn't go.
Right.
That's autonomic dysfunction.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have that.
Yeah.
As they age and they're deconditioned.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from Betsy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Do you know much about infrared mats? I have fibromyalgia, and I really enjoy the heat.
Oh.
I also wanted to thank you for the talks with a popular New York City gastroenterologist. Her name escapes me, I think. Alexandra.
Yes.
Christina.
Christina.
Yeah, yeah. But healed two ulcers from decades of Excedrin use, going by her tips, eating non-acidic foods, not eating for 3 hours.
Fabulous.
All of that.
Fabulous.
So what do you think of infrared mats? She has fibromyalgia. So, she likes the heat.
Interesting thing about fibromyalgia. Well, first of all, what are infrared mats? Infrared is the wave spectrum of radiant heat.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a hot mat.
Yeah.
A warming mat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know whether, you know, say with a hot water bottle is the equivalent of that. because it radiates heat.
Yes.
You know, but maybe there's something about the mats that radiate more heat and really penetrates the tissue. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not a, you know, physics expert to know the difference. But just the thing about fibromyalgia, I just reviewed this for this article I'm writing next week, is fibromyalgia is a condition that is worsened by cold exposure. And I know this from personal experience because my mom, when she was in her 30s, when I was young, she got a sporty convertible, you know, because she wanted to drive around in a sporty convertible.
Huh.
And then as she got older, she started, I said, Mom, why aren't you putting the top down anymore? She goes, oh, and she's from Belgium originally, her original language is French. And she would say, oh, coulon d'air, which means it's drafty. And it was like, oh, she'd make a face like, oh. And it would, like, oh, it would make her achy.
Yeah.
And she went on.
Is that what people call the rheumatism?
The rheumatism, yes. She went on to develop rheumatoid arthritis, in fact. But she, as a prelude, she had like achy body fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
And then I read scientific articles that confirm that, is that there's no question that in cold weather, people who are ache prone, who have fibromyalgia or other painful conditions, are achy. But paradoxically, it's been shown that real cold exposure, I'm talking about like deep cold exposure, like these cryo tanks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can actually reduce the severity of fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis pain. And what that is it's an example of hormesis.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and the proper definition of hormesis, I have it here, is, I'll come up with it in just
a second. It's like the healing crisis.
Yes. And this is the definition of hormesis. Hormesis is, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes.
But the formal definition of hormesis is, it's defined as a dose response phenomenon characterized by low dose stimulation. In other words, low doses of cold stimulate the pain, and high dose inhibition. So the high doses of cold inhibit the pain.
Yeah.
And he's recognized as representing an overcompensation for mild environmental stress. So there you go.
Okay. That's interesting. At least on, well, both my mother's and my father's side, they all got achy. My father would always complain. He caught a draft.
Mm-hmm.
He caught a draft. I remember, and this is really funny. Dad, what are you doing? What's wrong? What's wrong? I got draft in my eye.
In your eye.
Did
he have migraines?
No.
No, just a pain in the eye.
Just a pain.
So
was open or
but
something.
The heat can be therapeutic. There's no question. So, for example, the other thing that my mom did, and some rheumatoid arthritis sufferers do, is she got this like a hot pot. And she got bars of wax and melted the bars of wax and paraffin in the hot pot and dipped her fingers in there. And that was soothing.
Mm.
So the heat can be beneficial. And, you know, that's a form of heat therapy. So, so it's sort of like a paradoxical effect of cold on fibromyalgia.
When it's that cold, it's got to be numbing cold.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the amount of time.
Well, it does a reset on your nerves. It almost like overstimulates them to the point where they
stop hurting.
They come back to a higher threshold for pain.
It's almost like when you've got a cramp in your calf. If you really super tense up the muscle and then relax it, it can make it feel better.
Yep.
Or something.
Something along those lines. Yeah, this is the way the nervous system works. Requires a reboot. Okay, at this point, let us pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Give us a preview of questions we're going to answer in part two.
Oh, help. Do I have eczema or psoriasis?
It's hard to tell sometimes. Let's tackle that question when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. a reminder that if you go to drhoffman.com and you can download, we put it up there, a free copy of our resiliency program, which is called, let's see, what's it called? It's Immunity Reset.
Immunity Reset. And, it's all about reset.
Yeah. And, you know, this, I think, is a helpful guide for everyone on how to do the things, the lifestyle things, the diet things, the supplement things that help to support immunity, especially in this day and age when we confront the gaps in our coverage for COVID, because COVID, yeah, you can take the boosters, you can, you know, stockpile the medication, but there's still a lot of breakthrough COVID, and we should work on the terrain. We should have been always, we should have been doing that from the get-go.
We should have always been working on
but
the terrain.
It's some total of my thoughts during COVID when I was stuck in lockdown and wrote up this document, Immunity Reset. So drhoffman.com/immunity reset. I think it's immunity-reset, but if you just Google, you know, drhoffman.com, Immunity Reset, you'll find it. We'll be back in just a moment to answer more of your questions. This is our weekly Q&A with Layla.